Hello, church. We will be reading Matthew 13, verse 44 to 50. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up from the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in the baskets, but threw away the bad. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you this morning as we look at God's Word. You'll be glad to know I brought my own copy of the Bible this morning, so there you go. That's good. Thanks, Joel, for leading, and thanks, Aaron, for reading. We're going to come to God in prayer, and then we'll jump in. Heavenly Father, we are indeed grateful for this opportunity that we have to come together to hear your Word. Lord, open our ears by your Spirit. Open our eyes. Help us to understand it. Help me to proclaim it well. And then help us, Lord, to live it out. In all of this, we plead for your mercy and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. In 2009, Terry Herbert, he was an amateur detectorist. That's somebody who uses a metal detector to find things. He discovered a few metallic items on Farmer Fred Johnson's field after the soil was plowed. As it turned out, the initial items discovered were part of the biggest haul of Anglo-Saxon gold and silver ever discovered in the UK to that date. The treasure had been in the ground since, they reckon, 700 AD. So it was in the ground for 1,300 years before being discovered by Terry Herbert. And the total haul was about 14,000 items. And the value of it was 3.2 million pounds. So that's about $6 million in Aussie currency back then. So who knows what it would be worth today. Inflation or deflation, I don't know, whatever we have. If Mr. Herbert's metal detector in hand had uncovered the first few trinkets and then never made an effort to uncover more, then that treasure might still be buried. Instead, Mr. Herbert dug, kept on looking, kept on seeking to find the rest of that treasure. Today's three parables are not on how to find treasure or great pearls or how to fish. Instead, Jesus uses these as mini stories to help us to understand the kingdom of heaven. The first two indicate how to value the kingdom of heaven. The last one is telling us who is in the kingdom of heaven. So, what does it look like to be in the kingdom of heaven? Well, there's three things here that we're going to discover. First is that we value the king. The second is that we joyfully treasure the kingdom of heaven. And the third is that we are those who diligently seek it out. Those are the three points that we're going to cover this morning. And actually, there's a fourth point at the end. It's a surprise point. It's a bonus point. So let's think about that. Let's do the first one, though, that we value the king. This is really important. Do you see the king of the kingdom? So whether you're Mr. Herbert with his metal detector, or whether you're either of these people in the first two parables that we've looked at this morning, those who come across the treasure, they need to understand that it has value. They need to see it and understand it. Otherwise, they're just going to pass over the treasure and they're going to miss it. Likewise, in the kingdom of heaven, you and I need to see something of the value of that kingdom and the value of the king of the kingdom. So to help us, we're going to actually do a little bit of a review. So go back to chapter 12 of Matthew, and we're just going to scan through it. Throughout Matthew chapter 12, Jesus told the Pharisees that there is something of greater worth than the three most valuable things in all of Israel's worship in that day. The first that he mentions is the temple. So if you look at verse 6, the temple was the crowning glory. It was the center of worship of all Israel. It was the most valuable thing in Israel in that day. But Jesus says in verse 6, something greater than the temple is here. And then he tells them in verse 8, he said, for the Son of Man, and that's a way of Jesus always uses to refer to himself. He is the Son of Man. He says, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Now, if you're Lord of the Sabbath, from the Old Testament, you would understand Lord of the Sabbath is a reference to God, the guy who's in charge of everything, the guy who has the way of rest for God's people. That is the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is saying, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. In brief, he indicates that his own priestly work, his own sacrifice, will be greater than the temple. Greater than the temple. And if you understood, the temple, right, is the only way of approach to God. And Jesus is saying, I'm greater than that. My work, my sacrifice is greater than that. It will surpass the temple. It will make it obsolete. Jesus and his work is more valuable than the temple. Then he talks a little bit later in that chapter, down in verse 38. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law ask Jesus to give them a sign to prove that what he's saying is true. So in verse 39, we're going to read a little bit of this, 39 to 41. A wicked and adulterous generation, Jesus says to these Pharisees, asks for a sign. But none will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He says, if you want a sign, watch. Watch what's going to happen. The men of Nineveh, he says, will stand up in the judgment day with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now something greater than Jonah is here. Jesus' bodily resurrection was the sign for us on this side of the cross. It is the sign that what Jesus said is true. For them, they were looking forward to the sign that Jesus is telling them. That will prove that what he says is true. And of course, he does rise from the dead, and it does prove that what he said was true. So we see that Jesus' priestly ministry was greater. We see that Jesus' prophetic ministry, what he said, is greater. Lastly, let's look at verse 42 of chapter 12. Here's what he says. Jesus saying this to the Pharisees. The queen of the south will rise at judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now something greater than Solomon is here. Now, Solomon was the Rolls Royce of the kings of Israel. He was the first king after David. He was the wisest man who ever lived. In his reign, they had peace. In David's time, they had war. But in King Solomon's reign, they had peace. And he was wise, and people came from all over the world, the Queen of the South even, to hear his wisdom. But Jesus says, I am the greater son of David. See, if you take all this together, all this data that we've just learned, about the priest and the prophet and the king and Jesus being greater, the greatest of all. It reveals that the value, the true value of the kingdom of heaven resides in the king. Jesus, he surpasses the center of worship of Israel. His resurrection proves that everything he said is true. His wisdom is greater than even Solomon's wisdom. The kingdom of heaven is centered on a person. On the person of Jesus Christ, his rule, his reign. He is the Son of Man, the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the King of the kingdom of heaven. All that he is, all that he taught, all that he does is of supreme value. Nothing on earth compares. Jesus is priceless. I see a lot of you nodding your heads. I'm glad. I'm glad to see that. That's good. Because that brings us to the second point, that we need to joyfully treasure this kingdom and this king. Joyfully treasure the kingdom of heaven. Do you see the kingdom of heaven? Now, if you travel the Brookton Highway and go out to visit Calvary Church in Brookton, our sister church, you're going to pass huge fields. I don't even know if fields is the right word. It's just hectares and hectares of beautiful fields. Well, this time of the year, very beautiful. And green and lush and little sheep dotting the place. And you won't see any buried treasure in those huge fields. Now, if you do see treasure buried, then you're going to stop and see it, right? But if you don't see anything, you're just going to keep driving until you get to Brookton. You don't see buried treasure because it's buried. Here's where the parable comes in. Likewise, this parable that we have before us. The treasure was hidden in the field. It was buried. It wasn't seen by the man, but whatever it was that he finally did see what's there, I don't think he had metal detector back then, but he saw something of the treasure in the field, and he uncovered it, he sees it, and then he covers it back up so he can buy the field. And the discovery of this treasure in the field filled him with joy because it was worth more than all he owned. And he knew it. And after he saw it, the choice was really clear. He joyfully sold all that he had so that he could buy the field and gain the treasure. Now, what explains his joy? What explains that kind of joy? Well, he knew he had made an awesome, a once-in-a-lifetime discovery. And the newfound treasure was greater than anything he had on this earth, anything he owned. And selling all that he had was really no great loss. I know some of you have had to downsize over the years, right? Someday Shelley and I will have to downsize. And that's going to fill us with a bit of sadness because we're just going to have to get rid of a few things that we really, really... I know. Don't say that. That's blasphemy. Somebody said, that's my library. My wife will be like, no. There's sadness in getting rid of things. This man, though, was not sad. He was joyful. He so treasured the kingdom, the treasure that he found. He so treasured it that he was like, I am just joyful to get rid of my stuff so that I can get this kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is joyful. It's valuable. It is a great find. So what does it look like to treasure the kingdom of heaven? The man saw the treasure. He joyfully acquired it using all that he owns. And so the point is here, we should do likewise. So what does that look like? Well, first off, you need to see the superiority of the kingdom. You need to see that it's the best thing that you've ever seen. Nothing on earth will mean more to you than that kingdom, than the kingdom of heaven. And then you would want to joyfully swap your stuff. You say, this is really important, and I'll be glad to give away my stuff in order to have this kingdom. And you give joyfully in light of the value of the kingdom. So what does that look like now? You would use your resources. You would use the things you own to see and encourage others and to use your possessions for the benefit of others so that they could see the kingdom. You would sit down with brothers and sisters around God's word, and you would share with one another and help one another, spend time and energy and money even to help other people know the value of this king and this kingdom. And with brothers and sisters, you'd want to share with them and help them to grow so that they could see better, so that each of you together would see better. So whether it's giving away your money to missions or giving away your money to the diaconate, you want to help people to see and understand and know who this king is and what the kingdom of heaven is all about. Okay, but does that mean then that somehow I buy my way into the kingdom of heaven? You know, if I'm going to give away my stuff, then I'm actually earning the kingdom of heaven. Is that right? No, it is not right. Jesus doesn't need our stuff. In fact, if you think about it, Jesus actually gave you all that you have. He gave you life and breath and a job and family and friends, and he's given you. But we're also told in the scriptures that God has given you the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, for those of you who know Jesus. So chapter 13, verse 11, Jesus says, it is God who has given these disciples, these followers of Jesus, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. And then down further in verse 16, he said, God is the one who blesses Jesus' followers so that they can understand, so that they can hear and see these great treasures. God gave you these things, brothers and sisters. God helped you to see. If you think about it another way, just let's contrast that. What we saw in Matthew chapter 12 was Jesus' opponents who did not value the king, who did not value the kingdom of heaven. It gave them no joy to see Jesus coming. They didn't do like many of you did to me this morning, just say, oh, good to see you, Mark, good to see you. I would say the same to you, good to see you. That's not how Jesus' opponents saw Jesus. They did not welcome him. It gave them no joy to see him. They criticized his disciples. They demanded proof that God had authorized his message. They rejected the wisdom that he brought, the wisdom that he taught. They were not blessed by God. So they did not see the value of the king or the kingdom. It is God's blessing which allows anyone to see the treasures of the kingdom of heaven. And you may have just a little glimpse of the treasures, but if you can see it, that is God's blessing on your life. Keep looking. We don't earn the treasure. We don't earn it and give away our stuff and that gets us into the kingdom. That's not how it is. Instead, once God opens our eyes to see the treasure, to see the king, to see the kingdom, our hearts are filled with joy. We respond knowing that nothing on earth measures up to what we've seen, the priceless value of the king and the kingdom. So what do you do with that, right? That brings us to the next parable. The parable of the pearl. We need to diligently search it out. Do you search for the kingdom of heaven? The second parable is similar to the first. When you first read these two together, you kind of go, well, it's about the same thing, really, except for one significant detail. This man, the pearl merchant, diligently searched. He was a pearl merchant. That's what he did for a living. He searched for fine pearls all his life. You see, when you wanted to get a good pearl, you would go to this guy and say, could you value this pearl? And he would give you an appraisal. That's a good pearl, or that's a bad pearl. I don't know anything about pearls, so anyway. But if, you know, if this man had a shop, that's what he would be doing. You'd be going to him to check on it. This guy made a search because he wanted to find the pearl of great price. He wanted to find the best, best, best pearl ever. And so his appraisal was a keen discernment because that's what he did for a living. On the upside, when the guy did find this great pearl, on the upside, the man's search had come to an end, right? He's found the best pearl ever. He knows pearls, and this is the best one, and he's come to an end of his search. That's the upside. The downside is that now he's sold everything, his whole shop. All the pearls he ever owned, he sold to grab this one pearl. He's only got one pearl now, guys. He's only got one pearl. Not many options after you've fully invested in one thing. Not many options. However, that is the point. And it's especially relevant for our day. You see, we always want options, right? Our culture is full of always telling us you need to have options. You need to have choices. You need to be able to always make another choice. If you're rich, you have lots of options. If you're poor, you have not so many options. But you always want to have options. That's the current climate. And so absolute commitment to one thing is nuts, according to our culture. It's nuts. It's madness. We want choices. Friends and family might even dissuade you from being overcommitted to Jesus. And the fear of missing out, FOMO, F-O-M-O, FOMO, fear of missing out, that's always a temptation, especially in our culture. What if something better comes along? To combat FOMO and other people's warning against overcommitment to Jesus, take a lesson from the pearl merchant. He made it his business. He made it his way of life to know fine pearls. He searched. He studied. And when he saw the pearl of great value, he didn't trade down for the inferior stuff of this world. He went all in, and he fully invested in the one great pearl. Disciples of Jesus, brothers and sisters in Christ, beloved of God, God has blessed us to see the treasure in the field. He has helped us to spot the pearl of great price. Our business, our way of life, should include careful study of the King and of the kingdom. We do that together, we do that individually, we do that in families, we do that with our children, our grandchildren, our aunts, our uncles, whoever, we do it together. A careful study of his word. And we grow in this unrelenting joy because we treasure the kingdom of heaven more than anything else on this earth. We're not afraid to use the stuff of earth to have the treasure of heaven, our King Jesus, the King of the kingdom of heaven. See, it's our way of life. We want to share in the study. So if you're involved in a Bible study, great. Keep sharing together. If you're not involved in a Bible study, get in one. Okay, there you go. Get in a Bible study where you can share together and grow together and understand together the Word of God so that you can grow in your joy and understanding and love for the King and the kingdom. It's a joyful life where we get to know Jesus and get to know his people. And love one another. Now, it's not always a joy, right? Sometimes we know you all can be very difficult. I can be very difficult. But we want to focus on the King. And it's His joy that we want to enjoy, if that makes sense. As we learn, as we grow, then we can see more and more of the King and more of the kingdom, and we can share that with others. That's a wonderful thing to do. This great treasure that we know, we share with other people. During a curbside collection around my neighborhood, I walked around, and I looked, and I see all these items out on the curb, and I only saw junk. I mean, I saw really, really battered sofas, old refrigerators, old appliances, old dishwashers, useless fans, useless heaters, you know, dead TVs, dead stereos. And then I thought, you know, a decade ago, people paid big money for those things. I mean, I was looking at a TV, like $2,000 for a TV, $5,000 for a TV. And now those items are just sitting on the curb, waiting to be discarded as junk. These pricey earthly treasures, all of us have bought at various points in our life. And now they're just easily discarded on the side of the road. After all we've heard, contrast you and your earthly treasure with what we've learned in the first two parables. Just have that bit of contrast in your head. A man sees a treasure. A man searches for worthy pearls, great pearls. Each of them finds an item worth more than anything they own, so that they so much just want to buy in. They want to go all in. That's what it looks like to be in the kingdom of heaven. You know the King, you treasure the kingdom, and you diligently search it out no matter the cost. Now, that's going to sound huge to probably most of us here, including myself. That's going to sound like a huge cost. Everything I own for the kingdom? And it's going to sound huge as long as you value the stuff more than you value Jesus. In other words, we all wrestle with this, right? We all wrestle with it. But be aware, those treasures that are destined for the curb, your pricey earthly treasures will be discarded junk one day. We get to the fourth point. Are you in? Or are you out? The third parable that we see before us, verses 47 to 50. This last parable describes the kingdom of heaven from another direction, not describing responses to the king or his kingdom, but now telling us who's in, who's out, and who sorts it. Simply put, those blessed by God are in, those not blessed are out, and it's the angels at the end of the age. Look at verse 49. The angels at the end of the age will be the ones who sort it. So earlier in the second point of the sermon, so the first parable that we looked at, we contrasted Jesus' opponents, those who did not treasure the king or his kingdom. We contrasted them with Jesus' disciples, those who did see the treasure and the king of the kingdom of heaven. And the gift that made the difference, you remember, right? The gift that made the difference between Jesus' opponents and Jesus' disciples was God's blessing on them to see and to hear. Jesus told them, again, chapter 13, verse 11 and verse 16, Jesus told them that his disciples were blessed to see the king, to see and understand his kingdom, and to hear and respond to his kingdom. They were blessed by God to see those things. They were brought into the kingdom of heaven by the blessing of God and his gift to see. Is the king and the kingdom of heaven your treasure? Great. Then really, in the parable, you're like the good fish. You're the good fish in the parable. You're the righteous. But don't ever lose sight of this. You're only righteous. You're only a good fish because of God's blessing. It's not because of your wisdom. It's not because you chose Jesus. But God opened your eyes, your heart. He gave you sight to see the treasure, to receive the righteousness that you didn't earn by being a good person or being a good fish. God caught you in his net, and he rescued you by his grace. If you don't yet treasure the king or the kingdom, you're here today, and some of this is either new to you or you just haven't seen this yet. Can I tell you, it's not too late. We see it in the parable. The angels are not yet sorting, right? For 2,000 years, this invitation has been open to come and see the treasures of the kingdom and the treasure of the king. And the invitation is still open. Ask God to open your eyes. Ask God to give you understanding if you don't yet treasure the king and the kingdom. Ask God to help you see Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are indeed so grateful. For many of us in here, you have opened our eyes. We've even caught maybe just even a little glimpse of who you are, but it's enough for us to know you are glorious. You are worth everything. You are superior. And your kingdom, your eternal earthly kingdom, your eternal kingdom is greater than anything we have on earth. Lord, help us to grow in that. Help us to grow in that understanding together. And then, Lord, I pray for any here who don't know that yet, whether they're little, whether they're young, or whether they're older. Lord, for any here who don't know you, help them to see the value of who you are and to enter your kingdom by your gift to them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.